Welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is September the 13th. And beautiful out here in sunny California. Hope it's good weather where all of you are. Let's see. First, do announcements. We have the calls, these calls on Thursdays, the second and fourth Thursday of every month at this time, because we're having the call today, and then I want to have a call next Thursday also, so put that on your calendar, next Thursday the 20th at the same time, because the week after that is my birthday, actually September 25th, so I'll be out of town, I'll be on vacation that week, the week of the 23rd, So if you can put on your calendar that we'll meet next week, the September 20th, and rather than the 27th, that'll be great. So we can get in that extra call there. Let's see, a few of you were asking about a few new people are on the call asking about the call replays. Calls, the regular calls that are in the modules, you get, you know, access to one module per week. So if you just joined, you see the module one, and then next week you won't see the other ones till next week. You'll see module two. You can download those calls, and then these calls here, call replays, are in. You can find them just by clicking on in the upper right hand corner, the yellow schedule button, in the members area, and the modules are at the top, and then right below that is the schedule, or the ongoing mentoring calls here, and so these are separate from the regular training, so they don't go necessarily in sequence with the training that you're doing. They're ongoing mentoring calls, with great valuable information, and we usually just do a topic that's most important for that week. Like when I was very involved with the Olympics, we were talking about that because that was a very hot topic, and what was going on over there, and my journeys inside the Olympic Village and the Olympic Training Center, working with athletes, and we talk about what, and the main purpose for these calls, these ongoing calls, is for you to ask your questions. So if you have a client you're working with that you're having trouble with or need help, feel free to ask your questions about that. Like Sue Hasker asked a good question a couple weeks ago about a client with a knee injury, an athlete that she was working with, and we had a really good discussion about that. So you can always bring up a question about coaching or about marketing or business development. Anything related to your business will be great. So I welcome your questions. And then I always do a training of whatever topic is the most important that week, whatever's coming up. And so this week, I wanted to welcome, I see Dron joined us too. Dron Blumberg, are you on the line?
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, good. Good to hear your voice. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Dron. And Dron's just written a book after taking this course. It's called Performance Playbook, right? Yeah, that's great. So it's up on Amazon. You can check that out. And happy to support any of you who are doing your books and stuff. I wrote the foreword for Dron's book that he asked me to, and so I'm really supportive of all of you who want to, improve your business and do your writing and websites, anything you want to do for business development. So, today I wanted to talk a little bit about a case study, a client that I was working with, to talk about sort of how to deal with an athlete and the relationship of that athlete to their coach. If that athlete has their own athletic coach, sometimes if you're working with someone, you might be the sports psychology coach and also their athletic coach. In the case of like Dron, you're a personal trainer, you might do both of those things. And there's another person in our group, Dan Hannum, that does is a personal trainer and does both. And Brian Alderson, I know you're working with golfers, and you might you're doing your own coaching for golfers, right? And so you could do both the physical part of the coaching as well as the mental part, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, for sure. But then there's other times when there's athletes that have their own, if it's a sport that you're not familiar with or you're not doing, then you might, that athlete, especially high school and college kids, they might have, they've got their own coaches from school or from a private club that they're working with. And so you want to be able to work with that athlete. And sometimes the athlete will come to you. You get business from athletes that have a problem with a coach or an issue with what's going on, and that may be the sole source of your, work with that client. So, and I know, Rob, yeah, you've talked about that with your track athletes down in Southern California, right, getting, sort of issue politics going on within the community and the coaches, right, and, sort of dealing with that. Yeah, and it can be something that's, can really get in the, the athlete might be doing a lot of the hard work, but they're not getting the credit for it. So I wanted to kind of talk to you about a situation, how you could deal with that. And, that can be a whole other area of working with athletes. So one of the ones I worked with was, we'll call her Mary, and she's in she was in the San Francisco Bay Area here, and they just found me by looking online. By the way, I wanted to mention that most of the marketing I do and business, the way that people find me is online. I don't use any services, or I don't pay for any kind of PR services or throughout the whole Olympics, I got all of those, that publicity, without paying a dime, just doing blogs, every other day or so, writing something on my blog, doing a short little Facebook post, something on Twitter. And as a result of that, I got, I didn't call anyone. I didn't call any of the media people, but I got on NBC TV 5 times. I got called by, Time Magazine. I got interviewed and was in Time Magazine and Entrepreneur Magazine, Bloomberg Business Week Magazine, and also, got asked by Huffington Post to be a correspondent for the Olympics for them. So, and all that happened without any kind of, any kind of paid services, or I didn't need to hire a PR firm or anything like that. So that's really good news for all of you, that you can do a lot of this without, any expense or very little expense, just basically doing the social media. It's really leveled the playing field for all of us. And I think, a couple people in our group once mentioned that there was this scam going on with one group that was trying to say, hire us for, pay some big, large sum first, $600 for a month, and then you can pay us, $100 after a month after that, or and we'll make sure that you get clients coming in or something. And it was really if you ever get emails like that sound too good to be true, they probably are too good to be true. And I would say definitely stay away from those kinds of groups. If you question it, look at the email from the person that came in, and then put scam after that. Put in Google, put in like one of them was called Perks, I think. And put Perks. There's this company called Perks Connect, and if you type in Perks Connect and then write the word scam afterward or fraud in the questionable company, you know, you'll come up with all kinds of things, you know, all kinds of problems that and complaints about a company. Or if you do, then you know that there's something to stay away from. So I just want to protect you, all of you, from that, and kind of you know, let you know that you can do your own marketing and business for the most part without any expense at all, or very little expense, just by you know, doing the simple things that work, using blogs and using your you know, social media outlets, Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, right now Google has changed. They used to have all these you know, people used to be able to kind of scam the system and you know, put all kinds of keywords, every, you know, use your keywords, search words that people are searching on, you know, every other word in the in an article would be those keywords. You know, somebody would say, I'm doing sports psychology for and I'm a sports psychologist working with athletes, and what I'm interested in is talking about sports psychology for as a sports psychologist. You know, and the sentence doesn't make any sense. It's just you know, purely for you know, the purpose of adding keywords. And now Google has changed their algorithms, their testing systems. They've got much more sophisticated software, so they ban sites that do that. So you don't want to, you just, with your keywords, you want to just put them in the, you know, the first 3 to 5 words of the title, first 3 to 5 words of the first sentence of your article, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, putting in tons of the keywords all the way through, because if you do too much of that, then Google punishes sites for that and deranks your site. So you want to, just the key thing is just write for humans, not so much for not so much for the search engines. Just have your basic keywords up front, and then you'll be okay. So I just wanted to mention that so that you know that you can, yeah, it's very easy to get seen and get known, and make sure that you put your city in too. You know, like I'll put sports psychology Bay Area in as a keyword, and if you're in you know, Duran, you're in Florida, put, you know, sports psychology Florida, whatever it is that you, wherever you are, put that city or that area. You know, there's, if you're in New York, put you know, New York area. And so that way that people who are searching in your particular area can find you. So I wanted to get to this. Does anyone have any questions about that so far? Questions that come up?
I'm good.
You're good? Okay, so let's go. I want to talk about this case study with Mary. She's a 17-year-old volleyball player, and you know, the issue is dealing with her coach. Her mom came in, and generally what I like to do with high school kids and sometimes college is when if the parent will usually bring them if they're in high school because they can't drive yet. So you want to, you know, meet with if they're coming into your office or your home office, like they do here at my home. I just work out of my home, so they'll come to my home office here, and I'll just meet with the parent, the child and the parent together for the first 15 minutes or so, and just so that I can get an idea from the parent. That way you connect with the parent, because they're very concerned about their child, and they're the ones paying the bill. So you definitely want to connect with them and let them know what you're doing, and you can assess the situation. You can see how the parent interacts with their child, so you know if there's issues there too. Sometimes a lot of parents put a lot of pressure on their kids, and you know, you can ask the parent and the child. Well, I usually, well, kind of open it up to both of them, you know, so what brings you here, and let each of them talk a little bit about what's going on. That way I get a sense of if the parent and the child are in agreement or if they're not. You can tell a lot by just kind of their interaction. So I'll, you know, just do a lot of listening at first, and then I'll kick the parent out, so to speak. I'll just say, if you have a place they can wait, you know, in an area outside your office, you can do that. Or I'll often, there's a nice place to walk around here, so I just say, why don't you go out, go for a walk, or for the next part of the session, and I'll just talk to the child, and then we'll, or the student, and then have them come back and pick them up in 45 minutes, and that works well. And then you want to connect with the parent at the end too, and just not give away all the information that the person told you, because you want to keep that important confidentiality with the child. But you can just give a summary of what you did. You know, you worked on goal setting or did this visualization, and say you'll email them the visualization afterward. So you just kind of basically, and then any homework that you give them, you know, to fill out a form or answer certain questions, you can, you know, tell them that so you connect with them. And then always set an appointment for the next week and say, we've got this set up for next week. Is this good for you? Because obviously the parent has to, you know, coordinate to be able to drive their child there. So yeah, that works well. So we did that, and what was happening was both parent and the child were in agreement that of what's going on, that this girl Mary is very talented, is in her volleyball team. They're first in Northern California and fifth in the nation, and but on this, it was, let's see, this was July. 2 months before, so it's been May. Yeah, May when I worked with her. Yeah, and in July, first through the 7th, she was going to be going to the national tournament in Ohio. And at the national tournament, there is, you know, it's a huge, basically, Mary was, the way she phrased it, she said, this is, you know, this at the nationals, that's where my future is going to be determined. I mean, that's how important it was to her and her parent, because she says all the scouts will be there of all the colleges she's been talking to, and she really wants to get into a college of her choice and hopefully get a full ride scholarship as well. That full ride scholarship can be worth, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 depending on what college she goes to, and you know, it's just can make a real huge difference. But the problem was that the coach, this athlete, Mary, is a she's in a special position on the team called a libero. If you know, most of you may not know about volleyball, but there's the hitter, and there's the setter, the hitter, and then there's the libero. And the libero is the person that, you know, when the ball comes screaming over the net first with the serve, they're basically the serve receiver, you know, to keep the ball off the ground. So they're the ones that do those digs, have to get down low. They're always on their knees and falling down. They're doing a lot of hard work. So she's an amazing libero for the team. But the coach is favoring this other girl, who's also a libero. There can only be one libero on the team at a time, or playing at a time. And the coach is clearly favoring this other girl. We'll call her Tina. You know, just to protect client confidentiality. You know, the problem was, I mean, the coach is just, even though, you know, Mary's doing so well, she's not getting the playing time that she needs. And it was getting really close to the nationals, and she's just really concerned about, you know, being able to, is the coach going to favor, you know, they're going all the way to Ohio, or, you know, she goes, her parents paying for their plane tickets and the hotel, and, you know, it gets really expensive, and only to not have, you know, Mary be able to play, just because this coach is favoring the other athlete. So that was their issue coming in. And she said that when the coach has the other player, Tina, you know, playing all the time, you know, Mary just gets really rattled. She says that she, you know, just can't play well, and she just, you know, loses it mentally. And, you know, just really gets frustrated. And it's all, but if she's chosen first to be able to play, to be the starter, she plays just fine. So then I asked her about, you know, some peak performances, times that when she was playing really well, and she talked about Las Vegas, which was a showcase event. And that was in late February, and she was getting these amazing digs. She said she was, people were telling her, Mary, you really won that game for us. Same thing with Denver. She played there, and, you know, they were first. And that was when the other girl, Tina, was hurt. and so she, you know, before that she was... I mean, she was just really focused and not letting anything go by, just to get, you know, getting all these, you know, just getting all the serves, and just really had her mind in the game, you know, getting the ball, passing the ball. And I asked her about her, you know, her strengths. It's really important to ask them about that either during that first game or that first session that you do with her, or the second one, you can do that. And she talked about how she's, you know, has really good leadership skills. She's the libero, is like the commander of the sport, of the court. Keeps up the intensity of the game. She's really a good organizer. She's energetic. She has, you know, good communication skills, quick decision making. She calls out the names of the specific players to say, you know, the ball's yours. Sorry, just taking a drink there for my voice. And she, you know, is, and she talked about how she's really quick, she's fast, she's got speed. She has her, you know, she's healthy and she's got a strong body. She does a lot of extra work as well with training, and she's you know, does these great saves. She has great hands in volleyball. You call it great hands when you can set the ball. The libero sets the ball to the setter, and then the setter gets it to the hitter, and the hitter, you know, hits it over, and you know, hopefully goes for the kill over the net. She has really good ball control, she says. She can slow down the ball, change the speed of play, which is really important if the team misses it. And if their team misses it, she's really good. She has to be the cheerleader saying, okay, we got it. Get the next one, or high-five everyone. You know, give them that, you know, keep the momentum going even if they miss some of the balls. She says she's got confidence. She's really in the zone. She's passionate about the. You can tell she was just so totally passionate about the sport. And volleyball is a huge time commitment. You know, they're just playing, you know, many hours a day. And so she's just really a great, dedicated person. But the problem was that, you know, she's not getting enough playing time because the other athlete, you know, is getting favored, even though she's not as good, apparently. Mary said that Mary has really high stats. During each of the games, they do what are called passing stats, and you have to get so many balls and be able to pass them, you know, just to the right place, to the center of the court, or just center, or just to the right. And so that anyone can be able to get that ball. And, you know, I guess Mary said that her stats were clearly higher than the other girls. But the other girl is more assertive and would ask the coach, hey, coach, can I play now? Can I get in there and play? And she said that the coach was giving her a much longer leash, Tina, the other girl, a longer leash, so she could miss three or four shots and still stay in there. Whereas if Mary misses a shot, then she would take the coach would take her out right away. So there's clearly a favoritism going on. So we're getting close to the nationals, and so I did something with her that was that worked really well. Before I tell you what that is, I'd like to just open up the lines here and ask you, you know, how you would coach Mary, what you would say to her. And what you do in that situation, because I think it's a good learning situation, regardless of what sport you're in, to how would you coach, you know, this athlete, Mary, to be able to deal with the situation within herself, or to be able to talk with her coach. What do you think? You guys can just join in. We'd love to hear your comments.
This is Brian here. I'd have two approaches to this. One, listening very attentively, you said she... feels the other girl is much more forthcoming and you know, in speaking to the coach, assertive, I think you said. So she could do the same, and she could visualize doing that and being that person. But at the same time, I would offer caution and say, you know, you need to stay in the moment, and you need to focus your attention and your time on the things you can control, not the things you can't.
Right. Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. Yeah, because there's some things you can't control with the coach's decision-making, and but she can, yeah, control her breathing and how she feels about herself and when she is on the court, you know, how well she plays, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Brian?
Dr.
Yeah.
Joanne?
Yeah, is that Duran?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Along with what he said, yeah, I think that's great. I would also ask her how she responds to when she loses a point or things don't go her way, how her attitude is compared to the other athlete, and also how she feels her attitude is and how that helps her with her position that she's currently in.
Yeah. So say that again. Can you clarify what you're saying?
Like how she responds, how her emotions are after she loses a point or something doesn't go her way on the court. How would she handle the situation emotionally? Would she react with anger or put her head down or show any signs of weakness in that standpoint? Or would she show leadership qualities and really, you know, pump everybody up around her? How does she respond to those certain situations?
Yeah, that's great, Duran. And I think that's something she can, you can, I did that with her to be able to practice that, you know, if she's, something's not going her way, to be able to visualize that inside and see how that, have that resiliency and figure out, how am I going to deal with this? So that's great. Yeah, Duran, that's excellent comment. I think that's something that applies to every sport. Yeah, anyone else want to jump in?
Hi, Dr. Joanne, it's Amy.
Hi.
What I would do is I would have a discussion with her about how she thinks she could appeal in some motivating way to the coach. What could she say to let the coach know that it's really important to her and that she wants to put forth tremendous effort and do the best she can, and it's really important for her participation, and she loves playing, you know, to kind of butter them up, but it's in a sincere way. And then I might do some role-playing about, okay, you know, this is the plan. How do we get the conversation going? Let's make pretend that I'm the coach. What are some things that you could say to me that would make me want to put you in the game?
Yeah, that's great, Amy. Yeah, in fact, that's exactly what I did that I was going to tell you about here. Yeah, you
good thinking.
Yeah, hit the nail right on the head. Because I think, you have to approach it from both sides. You know, what Brian, what you and Duran were saying, you know, what you can do internally as far as your mindset goes and handling things. And also, like Amy, like you're saying, externally with your coach. I mean, this could be a real learning experience for her, how to, because she says she's not very assertive and doesn't really speak up for herself. And that's one of the issues, where this other girl, Tina, is constantly in there buttering up the coach and saying, can I play? And, you know, just kind of socializing around the coach more. And they're, you know, and it's just obvious that Mary needs to do figure out a way to do that also, or not change her personality, but just be able to communicate her what she wants better. Yeah, for sure. So that's great. Yeah. Other people? I don't know. Pam, are you there? Pam's
I'm here, and I was just thinking, you know, if she is letting on that she is intimidated by Tina in any way, then that would be something else you could talk about with her, is how not to be intimidated by Tina and let Tina kind of win by default if she's not assertive. And if, and again, it goes back to if she's losing a point and what she's doing when she's losing a point, too, how she reacts to that, if she shows letdown or whatever and compare it to when she wins a point, how she is. And to be a more assertive in both of those and more teach her how to be more assertive with Tina so that her skills can be seen as more than Tina's skills can be seen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, so being more assertive with, yeah.
And if Tina knows she's winning just by kind of buttering up the coach more, of course she's going to continue to do it. And that, in turn, then would intimidate Mary.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's a great point, Pam. Yeah, to be able to, Mary, to have Mary be able to hold her own and not to get intimidated by Tina. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What do you think? What do you guys think? Let's see, Jeff, are you there? Now Jeff might be. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that? On the soccer play, volleyball?
I would agree with all the techniques that have been discussed so far. I was thinking to myself, is there a venue or an opportunity outside of that immediate team, perhaps, where she can get more playing time, more practice time in preparation for this game that she could, for this event that she might have some control over? And I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, like another venue where she could practice?
Yes, and gain that confidence level back that she appears to be losing.
Yeah, I think that's good too, yeah. And that's one good place that, of course, our mental training sessions here in my office, she can gain some of that confidence just by visualizing all the different possible scenarios. And what if she gets taken out of the game? Usually, if she gets taken out and it's on the sidelines, then she gets really rattled and feels all this pressure. So when she goes back in, she's not warmed up and all, and then ends up not being able to play well, misses a shot or something, and then gets taken out again. It's very frustrating. So we worked on that, Jeff, being able to, in our sessions here, being able to visualize, even if she gets taken out and she's on the bench, still being able to be playing in her mind so she's not relaxing but staying warmed up. Yeah, and
not allow those distractions at all in her mind.
Yeah, and just imagine that.
Really, that's what it's amounting to. She's allowing it in as a distraction.
Yeah, and just getting really frustrated with the other girl being able to play, get a lot more playing time when Mary knows that she should be in there. So, so we rehearsed that, being able to just be really, imagine yourself, even if you're on the bench, that you're getting ready to play and that you're, so as soon as she gets called back into play, that she's really ready mentally and physically, ready to go. Yeah. Yeah, Rob, are you there? Have any thoughts on that?
I'm here.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing was, I should ask the coach, what would I need to do to get more playing time? What is it? Is it just performance at practice? What is it? That's what's unique. When we do cross country and track, everything is by performance and time typically. So there isn't really, it's hard to be, if you're not the top runner and, you can only select one runner, and you can't really have favoritism. It doesn't work in our sport. But I think maybe it's just, has she asked or spoken to the coach, I'm really working hard, what does it take to get more playing time, and what do I need to do to get more playing time?
Yeah, exactly. That's you hit the nail on the head too, Rob, because that's exactly what I did. So I'll tell you what I did, which is kind of combining all of your techniques, all of you that, you've got fantastic feedback and sort of everything that was said here is right on. You guys obviously are you must be in a Performing Edge Coach training program. Just kidding. Because it's, you know, you're just, you've got so much great insight as to this. And I think all those, everything that we talked about is really important. So, yeah, that's what I did basically was, like Rob and what you were mentioning there is I said, let's figure out a script that you can say to your coach, because she's Mary's not used to talking to her coach much. And I said, let's think of something that you could say and actually, you know, write out a little script of how to what you want to say, how to say it, what order to put things in. And how to communicate it, and then we'll practice it at role play, like Amy, like you suggested. So I said, you know, I asked her first, what are the things that you want to say to your coach? And I asked her to just, you know, tell me what they are. And then I just wrote them down, you know, verbatim as she, in the unedited version. And then we, and then I sort of reordered things, and we put things in a way that the coach, you know, would be most likely to hear them the best. So, you know, she said, I said, what do you, she says, well, here's what I'm, you know, what I feel is I never know, if I'm going to get playing time. And there's, you know, the Nationals is a really coming up is a really long tournament with really good teams, best teams in the country. And she said, you know, and we talked about compliment. You always want to use what I call the sandwich technique, I think is really helpful. Sandwich technique with, you know, communication is, you know, is just a general, you know, good way to communicate. Start off with something positive, you know, compliment the person, even if it's difficult to do, just think of something simple you can say, like, you know, you've put together a really good team this year, you know, for the, saying that to the coach, and then saying, you know, and saying I'm excited about Nationals, and then say the difficult part in the middle, you know, and then you finish up with the bread on the other side is finishing up with something positive again of, you know, looking forward to, you know, playing really well at Nationals and getting in there and really helping the team. So we talked about that. And she says, it's interesting. She right afterward, after we practiced the sandwich technique, she told her dad about it, who's a guy, I guess in the financial, industry, and he says, that's funny, you know, my employee below me just used the sandwich technique on me today, and I gave him what he wanted. I didn't even know he was using a sandwich technique. It happens all the time with people that, you know, you just want to start off with something. If you just start off with something negative, you're probably going to get, the person's going to become defensive. So you want to start off with something positive, compliment her on something, her, even her clothes, she's a real sorority type of a coach, I guess. The dress is really, you know, it's a really fancy clothes. So, you know, complimenting her on anything like that. And saying, you know, I know you've developed a really great team this year. And then she said, I'd like to know what's going to happen at Nationals. You know, split. Am I going to be splitting the time between me, the libero, you know, between me and Tina, the other girl, or am I going to be playing DS, which stands for designated specialist or something, which is another position. And so that was what that's her main point that she wants to ask. But I said, let's save that for the end. You know, say that after you've said a few other things. Like she said, all the college important things she wanted to say are all the colleges I've been talking to are going to be there at Nationals. And, you know, it's really it's important that I get play time. And I've been working really hard. She said, I've been my passing stats have been consistently high and the best this season. And, you know, actually giving numbers that they're actually much higher than the other girl, than Tina, maybe not comparing, but just saying that they're really high. And then being able to remind her that the last month's stats, she said, have been the best ever of any player on the team. And she said, if I play more, that could really help our team to win. And that's a really key point, you know, not just to focus on her own benefits, on her own goals, but focus on what the coach wants. The coach wants the team to win and, you know, get high placing in the Nationals. So if I play well, that'll really help our team to win. That's something that the coach, you know, really understands. And they can help the coach with her goals. And then, as exactly what you're saying, we talked about her saying, you know, if you see something about my playing that, you know, please tell me, it's something I can improve on, please tell me so I can work on it. I'm open to your feedback and I want to learn from you and I respect you and, you know, I respect your feedback and coaching. So, you know, if she could say those things, those are really things that a coach wants to hear. And she says her coaching, when she does coach her, she is really, it is valuable to her. So it's, you know, it's saying something that's honest. And then Mary asked me, well, how do I stay calm and be assertive at the same time when I'm talking to the coach? So she's asking more questions about how to, you know, if I'm saying these things, you know, get, you know, she's sort of, you know, gets really, might really get nervous because she's not used to saying anything to the coach at all. And I just said, well, what we need to do is practice, you know, just like you do with your volleyball. The more you practice and feel really proficient at it, you know, the more confident you are in your game. So if we practice these words, actually writing them down and saying them out loud, then you're going to, you know, just feel a lot more calm and be able to be assertive because the words will just flow out of your mouth. And I actually told her a story. I think storytelling is really powerful. If you have a story in your own life where you were assertive as, you know, in your personal, maybe you had an issue like this with, you know, one of your own coaches, you know, as you're growing up or something, if you can tell a story that's something that you, that worked for you, that can really be valuable to your client. So I told her a story of when I was in an internship and I had a really difficult time with this, you know, supervisor who had so much control over me and it just wasn't working out. And I needed to say some really important things to him and give him feedback and stand up to him. And so I wrote out the words, what I wanted to say, first the unedited version, and then you know, just my raw feelings. And then I went back and sort of reworded it so that I, you know, in a way that that person could hear the best, and using the sandwich technique, the positive, you know, and then the difficult part, then the positive. And I practiced it in front of a couple people. I practiced it in front of the mirror. I said it about 3 or 4, 5 times, maybe 10 times, so that when I got in front of that person, the words were already, you know, there, and I was comfortable with the words, so I could then work on the assertiveness part. So that's what we did. So I told Mary that story, and she really responded well and got inspired and thought, yeah, this is something I can really do. And so we worked up to it actually during the week before that. You know, we had her say to the coach, you know, just that one little part, if you see something that about my playing, please tell me so I can work on it and sharpen your you know, I look to your feedback and, you know, I want to learn from you and I really, I respect your, you know, I value your feedback and your coaching, you know, saying, she said that 2 or 3 times during the week to the coach, kind of leading up to this conversation. So that helped too, I think, to kind of open, you know, open things up. So the coach, you know, was, you know, more friendly toward her. And then we just, you know, then, when she, I said, we designated a day. I said, let's do it on that Thursday before before you go to Nationals. Or Wednesday was that week. And I said, so here's what, we sort of reordered it and reworded it. So she said, you know, you've, so the first thing she said to her coach was, in our script here was, you know, you brought us a long way. And I know that, I know that we have high goals for nationals. So, you know, just the word we is a really good word to use also when you're negotiating with someone. So not just I and you, but we have high goals helps to, you know, sort of bring that, you know, the two people together and saying, I want to be part of that. And I really want to, I'm really looking forward to nationals. So that's a really good way to start, I think, you know, that we have high goals for nationals. I want to be part of that. I'm really looking forward to it. I just want to figure out what that's going to look like. So, you know, just having an open-ended kind of sentence like that, you know, that if I'm going to play, I just, you know, like to know if me and if myself and Tina will be splitting the time as liberos or how that will work. And then she emphasized, you know, anything could happen during the game. Someone could get hurt or something. So it's good to be, you know, I want to be available to be able to help out the team. And then just ask, like Rob, like you said, and Amy saying, how can I get more playing time? I really want to help our team. And I thought, and then just reminding the coach, you know, how I, she said, how I brought our team to number one in Denver and number three in LA. And I know that we can, you know, if we work together, we'll get there in nationals too. So using that word we again and together and saying, I know how important it is for you to have our team to win. So, you know, really bringing in the coach's goals again and saying, you know, and then she said, I'm working really hard and consistent with my consistent passing stats. And I want to, would I be starting, you know, being able to be the starting, you know, just really coming to her main goal is to be the starting libero, to go out there first. So just trying to get that feedback if she could from the coach. So, she said, is it, those were the main things that she said to the coach. And she said, you know, when I'm warmed up, you know, I play like I'll play like I did in Denver. You know, I can duplicate that in nationals. So just kind of telling the coach that you know, if she can you know, start and stay warmed up, that really helps her. So just kind of being able to open up the conversation, and then being able to say at the end, you know, I really look forward to playing at nationals and bringing our team to do really well at nationals. So what happened was, so we had that conversation. We figured out that first had, you know, Mary said the points that she wanted to bring across, and then we sort of went back and reordered those so that, you know, rewording it in a way that the coach could hear. And then we practiced it, we role played. And I made her this sheet, you know, I made her a copy of exactly my notes, what we had said. So she brought that home with her so she could write it down and practice it. I said, practice it in front of your mirror, practice it in front of your mom, your parents, if you want, if they're open to that. And so she did that. She ended up, you know, then having the conversation with her coach, which was really scary for her, but she was very, was able to be assertive because she practiced, you know, she said it went off, really well, and the coach listened to her, and the coach isn't one to say what's going to happen exactly. You know, she didn't get the exact feedback because coaches, you know, have to say, well, I have to make a decision based on what's happening in the game and what's happening at that moment. So she didn't get all of that feedback, but she did get just, you know, built a rapport with the coach and really clearly brought across her thoughts and her feelings, what she wanted to happen. So that was all set up, and she actually carried through the conversation with her. And the next thing that happened was, you know, they went off to Ohio, and I'm sitting at my computer over the weekend and just working on things. And I get, the next thing is I get a call from the mother who said, I'd love to be, if I can, I'll try to put this, in, you know, put this recording Actually, she said it was okay to record it, into the members area. It was just the most beautiful conversation I've ever had with a parent. She says, "Oh my gosh, I'm here, Dr. Joanne. I'm here at Nationals, and Mary is like another player. She's just phenomenal. The coach put her in first as a starting, the starting libero, and she is just." Getting amazing digs. She's just, carrying, really consistent. She's just playing like she's never played before. And the team is just accelerating. They're in their like fourth day. They've gotten all the way up to third in Nationals. And the next day they were playing for the gold medal, I guess, or the winning position. And so she said, this is, and all the scouts are there. And she's already gotten five requests for the schools that she wants. that they want her to be on their team. It was just like a dream come true. So I was just like, those are the kinds of moments that you live for as a, in sports psychology as a coach, working, using these techniques and getting that kind of feedback from a parent. She was just like almost in tears. She was so happy with what happened. And she said, I my husband said, "I got to call you and tell you what's happening." It's all, she said, "I want to, your work with Mary has just made all the difference in the world." So, I wanted to just share that story with you because that's, something that you can do with your athletes with, it's the same kinds of principles, regardless of what sport you're in or what athlete you're working with, that you can, help athletes to handle a situation with a coach, and if they can talk with the coach, even if they're afraid, you can give them those skills to write out something, write out a script, and then practice it. And that's the kind of thing. Mary said, "Wow, I can use these skills when I'm throughout my life. When I'm doing interviews for the colleges now, and." She got three offers for the colleges she wanted and for scholarships. And so she's, when she came back, she was actually asking me, "Gosh, I'm in a position I never thought I'd be in of having to choose between these great colleges, which one I want to go to," because they're all offering her, great scholarships. So, it's just, those are the kinds of things that, are just really rewarding, and parents will pay you very well for your services, because they really want their kids to get into a college of their choice. So it turned out to be one of the best situations ever for her getting into for a great outcome, and then she started referring other people too, for my services since that was working out so well. So, yeah, any comments on that situation or what happened there? There are questions?
This is a bit tongue-in-cheek, Dr. Joanna. I would just be saying to the parents, what's my win bonus? We've realized that these dreams. What's my commission?
Yeah. Yeah, right. And in fact, that's something, Brian, the other thing I wanted to chat briefly about is... different ways that you can get paid, that you can charge for your services. There's the traditional way, of course, and it depends, of course, on what sport you're in, how much money people are making, and with a school like that, it's like you're not the student isn't making a whole lot of money, but what you're doing is saving the parent, hundreds of thousands of dollars that they'd normally have to pay for college. So it's not quite as cut and dry as, say, a professional athlete winning, winning prize money. But the first way, of course, to charge for your services would be just, an hour, work an hour, get paid an hour, just on an hourly rate, and whatever you choose that, you decide that would be. And might be, you might start out at $95 an hour, or $150 an hour, or if you're at a higher level, $200 an hour, whatever works for you. And then if that's one way of charging. A second way is, you know, on a monthly fee kind of thing, which is what I've gone to. If you charge by the month and, say, include four sessions in a month, then you tend to get more of a commitment. You know that person's, if they paid for four sessions, you know they're going to come back for that second session and third session because it's, you know, already paid for. And a third way is, well, if they, let's say if they are, you know, if you give them your hourly fee, you say it's $100, $150 an hour, and they can't afford that or are resistant, you can always start with a half hour instead. You know, just cut your fee in half and say, I also do a half hour session for $75 or $95, whatever you want to charge. So that's a third way of doing it to be able to, these are ways to be able to keep the client, or, you know, get someone to sign up for your services, even if they're resistant or have some issues, you know, be able to think of different ways to negotiate with them. And a fourth way would be to, if, you know, to the more sessions they sign up for, the less they are for each session. So if, and that's, in fact, that's what happened with this volleyball client, is the mom said, well, it's so much per hour. She said, if I sign up for six sessions, is there a discount for that? And so I made a, you know, like a 10% discount for the overall amount. And then she wrote me a check for, you know, for those six sessions. So that's a really good way to, if you offer a discount for those larger number of sessions, people can pay up front for those, and you'll get more of a commitment that way. And then a fifth way is to actually get, you know, what's done in professional golf and professional tennis is actually take, you know, get an hourly fee plus a percentage of their earnings. So, you know, with professional tennis players, they might, I mean, it's, of course, the winnings can be huge. They might win in an optimal case, they might win $1 million for a, you know, for winning the U.S. Open or something. And if you're taking 10%, you know, it's often common that a sports psychologist or a mental training coach could take 10% of their earnings, so which would be $100,000 for you. So that's at the high end. And then, of course, if someone wins, you know, $10,000 at a, you know, competition, you might get, you know, $1,000. So that's something that you might want to consider if you're working with, you know, high-level athletes who are making, you know, serious income from what they're doing. So that you, that way you, if you charge for your hourly services, you're getting a guaranteed income for what you're doing. So if they don't win anything, you're still getting an income. And then if you get, if they do really well, you're getting a bonus as well. So, I know that's, Brian, you were talking about that with golf, that's the situation in golf, is it?
It is, yeah. Personally, I see this sports psychologist, 10% of my winnings. We agreed it over a fixed term, so I said I'm looking for results fast. So you can expect a return on your time from now until the end of X, Y, whatever it might have been at the time. Yeah, you made a lot of money, because I made a lot of money. So that was the commitment. I negotiated that. I said, look, you're great. I adore you. I value everything you're telling me. I'm playing better than ever. I believe in myself more than ever. So the results will come, but I want you to take a gamble. So I want you to drop your hourly rate and just go on commission, but I'm willing to give you a handsome commission. And that's kind of how we did it. And I won three times fast in three different continents. And it was great. Thoroughly enjoyed the experience. And there can be no doubt, if you're working with a top athlete, a very handsome return.
So you, just to let everyone else know, if you're a professional golfer and you were, doing really well, and for the last, well, this is like the last 15 years, about 20 years or so?
And yeah, I played on tours all over the world for the last 20 years. And had a great deal of success, but as I come to the end of my playing career, you know, I'm very much looking forward for a new avenue, and as I've told you, Dr. Joanne, I've read so many books on this wonderful topic, and just cannot wait to get my teeth into it further, because, you know, having been on the receiving end of it for so long, it's going to be very exciting for me to be able to share the things I've learned and continue to learn. But it's very common in golf, yes, just to close the loop there. It's very common for golfers to pay a commission for the services they get based on their winnings.
Yeah, so you worked this out with your sports psychologist to, you said drop the hourly fee, lower his hourly fee or drop it altogether?
It depended. It was very specific. If I directly asked this person to meet me at an event, then I expected to pay an hourly rate. If I was just listening to recordings and working with affirmations, then that was just part and parcel of the service he gave me. So it was specific. It was very bespoke. But I just said, you keep giving me this good stuff, I'll pay you a commission. But if I ask you to come to an event, then he was also quite cute. What he would do was, he had plenty of clients, and he would say, I'm going to be in Sydney for the New South Wales Open. Would you like some time? Before I knew it, I was paying an hourly rate again. So great, though. And then I didn't devalue it in any sense. Good sales closing. You can swing it any which way that suits your schedule, I think.
Yeah, that's great. And, did you have a contract with him that said that outlined all of that?
Yeah, I had a management company look after my affairs, so there was a contract. I was just very, very hands-on. So, yeah, there was a contract. I just remember legally they looked at it, I signed it, done.
Yeah, so that's great. So I wanted to just, let you, now you can use that same model that where you paid a sports psychology consultant, your earnings. Now you can, in this program and, through doing your own mental training, you can turn it around so you can get those same kinds of earnings from your, golf clients and other clients, right?
Absolutely. I think because I'll be doing the physical training, the golf skills, I myself will see who does and arguably does not have the potential to be a world beater. I'll have a great deal of insight, which I can exercise, yes.
Yeah, so that's great. And I think it opens a whole new avenue to all of us, to all of you here, to be able to think about that if you're working with a top athlete who's doing really well, to be able to consider. It's not unusual, and it's common practice in golf and tennis and other sports to actually ask for a percentage of earnings. I mean, you're doing a lot of work for them oftentimes. As the work gets more intense, the competitions get more intense, the phone calls get more intense too, and they're depending on you more. You can set it up so that you get a percentage of their earnings for just make sure you put all that in writing ahead of time, kind of thing. And so that opens up a whole new area, I think, especially like I know Amy, you're working in the area of tennis, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you could consider something like that, as well. Yeah. I know you've got... go ahead.
Dr. Joanne, I just wanted to mention this quickly because you just brought it up with the tennis. But last Thursday, I did a presentation to the varsity and the JV team at a private school. And one of the things I did with them, which went over really well, was your confidence exercise. I feel strong when, I feel weak when. And then I put them in pairs, and I had them go over it together, and then I made one of the pair stand up and tell me what they learned about their partner, and it went really well. There was a great dynamic.
Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah, that exercise is, yeah, it's just basically saying it to so that everyone knows it's a, yeah, I feel strong when, and then build in the, fill in the blank, and, you know, maybe may have them do five of those. I feel strong when I, yeah, and then do a, fill in the situation, and then, yeah, I feel weak when, and have them fill in the situation. And so you had them pair up and then share.
Yeah. It went really well. They really got into it. It was fun.
Yeah, I think it's good, and it really is a way to where people can quickly asset their strengths and the things, their weaknesses, things they would need to work on, assess those things. So that's fantastic. Wow. So is that a presentation that's just a one-time thing or something that's leading to something else for you?
Well, I'm hoping it does, but I had a little bit of a... of a hitch because the women's athletic director wants me to come in and do it, and I had something scheduled with her field hockey team, and then she told the men's athletic director, who has just been there, he just started about a month ago, that I was coming in to do it, and he put the kibosh on it. He said, I don't know her, I've never met her, even though I used to coach there, so it's kind of at a point where I'm not sure what to do. So I did send him an email, but it's awkward because she really wants me to do it, but he's the authority and he doesn't know me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I guess that's one of those things where you have to negotiate.
Yeah, I'm not work, quite sure what's going to happen.
Work with the people that you do know and or help the guy that doesn't know you to get to know you better. Maybe. Send an email or something. Yeah, well, I'll hope the best for you with all that. I know. So, thanks for sharing that story, Amy. Yeah, you're just doing so many great presentations here and really getting yourself out there. That's great. Yeah, Duran, are you there? I know you've talked about in terms of pricing and charging for your services. You've had some interesting packages you put together, right?
Yeah, I don't charge nearly as much as $90 or $100 an hour, but, you know, I'm just looking to build my name up a little bit more, and, you know, I charge for, like, 5 sessions, 10 sessions, and 20 sessions, and actually I've been coaching a baseball player, and the parents have seen such good results that I'm actually coaching the father now.
Huh.
And,
wow.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so it's led to another. Yeah, that's often really great that you can, yeah, one family member can refer another. And, yeah, you can, I mean, you can't get much better than that. referring, I mean, that's real trust there. If the father sees so much progress, yeah, with the son that he's willing to wants you to work with him. That, I mean, that's the ultimate compliment. I think that must made you feel really good, huh?
Oh yeah, it's awesome, and I've changed his life too. So
yeah, that's great.
The greatest feeling doing this, you know, helping people. So
yeah, yeah, I think that's the wonderful thing about what we do is. Regardless of what you do, how much you get paid, which is, you know, is I think the sky's the limit with that part. You can just keep going up with that. But regardless of that, you just, yeah, the feeling is so amazing for what you do and the feeling of satisfaction of changing people's lives that it's so worth it. You know, even if I wasn't paid a whole lot, I'd still be doing this for free or for a low fee kind of thing. Cause I, you know, when you get phone calls like that, like I was telling you from Mary's parents saying that, oh my gosh, she's like a whole, this has changed her whole world. It's just, yeah, you feel like you've really done something and it's just a great feeling. Most people in this, I think have jobs that they can't stand. They may be making great money, but they're not happy with doing what they're doing. So it's great that you're that we're doing in this field. I think it's a real gift to be able to do this kind of work. So yeah. Anyway, I was just curious. Jeff, are you there? Levout with motocross. Is there in terms of charging for services? Is there prize money? How does that go with motocross?
Yes, there is prize money. However, the industry is such right now that the actual payouts have become relatively low at the professional level, which is kind of sad.
Huh? Yeah.
You know, with the exception of your top 5 or 10, riders in the country. Now, they're all getting paid very, very well, but anyone further back than that, it's become very difficult to make a living. But my understanding is that's starting to turn back around. Much of it was because of the economy and the control from the manufacturers themselves that manage the race team.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully.
But it's interesting listening to these conversations because, as you know, I had run a small race team in the past and had actually worked with some professional riders, and to get involved with them was, paying some small contingency monies for their top finishes. So I found that, the whole golf conversation here about, utilizing the concept of a percentage based on, total winnings for a level of success is, I think, has got some value for sure.
Yeah, I think,
a little bit different approach. I guess I was always kind of thought in the hourly type, mentality and thought outside of that box quite so much.
Yeah, I think we're, fortunate in this country that you can sort of do anything, charge. There's many creative ways to get paid for what you do. And so one of them is, this is a different kind of concept with if you have someone that's making a lot, making huge earnings and you're doing a lot of work for them, it makes sense to be able to, to get a bonus, just like people get bonuses, for it happens all the time with regular employees when they do a great job at a company, they get a bonus at the end of the year.
Sure.
why shouldn't we get that, right?
Right.
So I think we hadn't talked about that part before, and I think it's something to consider for sure. I mean, agents do that, agents for top athletes, they're getting that's built right into the contract, of course, that they get a percentage of the athlete's earnings, and coaches as well. I would think, the top, Michael Phelps coach is probably getting, a good, a percentage of his earnings. And I mean, because he's working with him day in and day out. And so, sports psychology experts, we can expect to do the same kind of thing. It's just all in how you structure things yourself, and that confidence comes back to just like we were talking about with Mary and the case study here, talking with her coach and having that confidence and assertiveness to be able to say what she wants. I want more playing time. With us, it's being able to have that assertiveness with an athlete to say, if we perform at this level, here's what I want in terms of, getting paid. So, assertiveness kind of is all over the place. It applies to everything. So great. So this is a great conversation with all of you and, for the, both with the case study with Mary, with the volleyball, and the athlete coach relationship. Think about what you can do with your athletes, and if there's a coach issues there, that's something that you can, another issue you can work on with your athletes to help them to get the positions that they want, the playing time they want with their coaches, and all those aspects that we talked about here, how you can get the athlete to work on the internal stuff, things they can't control. You can have them work on how they react, how they respond, how they, how confident they are inside, regardless of what's going on. And then the second part, though, is also, being able to talk and communicate with the coach One other thing I wanted to, and then a great discussion about the charging, how to bill for your services as well. One other thing I wanted to mention is, like Daron, you mentioned with that, just having a great experience with your client and then with the father. You know, anytime you get a good experience like that, it's really good to get a testimonial of some sort. And text is good, audio is better, and video is the best. And so if you can get some, if they're local there, Daron, were they set the son and father local, close to you there?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you could, you know, you have to sort of judge when the right time is for that sort of thing. It sounds like if the father was really happy with the son, the work with the son, it would be great to be able to just, you know, I'll have like a video right in my office there, a camera, and I'll just say, yeah, it would be okay if I just, you know, had a comment from you on my camera. And, you know, I've never had anyone say no, and I'll just say, yeah, you know, and I'll just have a conversation with him and ask him, yeah, what results did you see? And if you can have, you know, you could have the father talk about, since he was so happy with your results with the son, have the father talk about that in a video conversation, and just point the video camera at him and say, you know, yeah, what was your experience? You know, what did you notice the changes, you know, with my work with your son? And that's one of the most valuable testimonials, is a parent talking about your work with their son or daughter, because they're the ones that are paying this for your services. So if you then can, you know, you just ask for permission to put it on your website or and YouTube, and then once you do that, you know, other parents will be looking at that, and they're the ones, you know, paying the bill and seeking services for their kids. So if they hear other parents, you know, saying how happy they are, that's what they can really relate to. That's even sometimes a more powerful or just as powerful a testimonial as the child saying that. And then, of course, if you can also get a video from the child, both of them together, that's like real social proof there, and put them sort of both together. On YouTube now, you can do what's called playlists, you know, and you can have one video, just look up on YouTube and say, you know, how do I do a playlist, and it'll show you there. You can do like video one, let's say you could do a testimonial of the child saying how he's doing with you, and then you can say it'll go, you can make it go right into a playlist. So just like a song, you know, like songs on an album or on your iPhone or iPod, you can do, it'll go right into video number two. So then they can hear the video testimonial of the father. And so you might want to do that. And then third thing, or you could have video number one be you talking about what you do and your services, a couple tips or something, and then put in those videos from the son and the father. So yeah, just an idea for you there with the way to do videos. And if they're not local, like most of my clients are all over the country or the world, then you can just do it by Skype video, and you call them up and do a Skype, you know, you can answer. There's a click button there with Skype. You can answer or answer with video, and then you can see the person on video. And if you have a good connection, sometimes the connection isn't great, but sometimes if it is, then you can just capture that. Like you can use Jing. Just go to jing.com, and it's a video, a screen capture software, and it's free. Or if you want a little more sophisticated one, there's Camtasia. And that's a software program that I use, and then you can just go Camtasia Recorder, and it just records the screen for you. So then you can have that right there. So without actually traveling to see the person, you can you know, get their comments, video comments, just on a nice little video there and put that up. So those are some ideas to really capture the moment as you're, you know, you get these great calls. And that's the way you build credibility, is put those videos on your website. So great. All right. Well, again, we'll talk next Thursday, September the 20th, again, at the same time. And it's just, so put down the 20th, not, it would normally be the 27th, but because that's my birthday week, I'll be away on vacation. So the week before that, the 20th, is when we'll meet for for our next call. So great. It's great having all of you with us today. And welcome Brian and Pam, who are new to our program. And I think we've also got a new person, Hans, who's in the Philippines, who's been trying to call in with Skype too. So fantastic. So yeah, if everyone wants to say goodbye, that would be great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dr. Joanne.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, thanks. Take care, and we'll talk next Thursday. Yeah, great discussion with you.
Thanks so much to everyone. Wonderful session.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.